Welcome to the Flow Tracy Monday to commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 4:20 p.m. and that is Central Time, and today is July 12th. Well, we had CPI figures coming out today. They were better than expected, so inflation is well on the way to being taken down, particularly when one looks at simply the main way of measuring it, CPI. Then things become a bit more complicated the further you dive into it. But the stock market on Wall Street popped on the upside today to gap higher right off the open, and then paired that advance towards the end of the day. But still pushing on here around the 44 to 4500 point level. And when we zoom out and look at the longer term chart, well, it's still appreciating. So it would need a clear downward dynamic to question the potential here for additional downside. But there were several other factors in play today. The first being that oil prices were stronger, and then the dollar was weaker. When we think then about inflation, some of the figures are improving, others we probably won't get a proper reading of it until the end of the month. Then we can think about what the knock-on effects are of the dollar going down, particularly for gold, but and related instruments. But then also, cryptocurrencies were a bit steadier in here today, and then with the dollar depreciating, then that enhances the attraction of investing overseas. And of course, because inflation is looking like it is going to continue lower, then that's also bullish for bonds, and we had a meaningful move in the 2-year. So let's look at some of those CPI figures. So the main CPI figure is now quite clearly failing to sustain the move above 4%. It has contracted from around 9% in June of last year to about 3% right now, and that is well inside the previous range. So we're not all that far away from a reading of 2% on CPI, which would make a lot of people very happy. But let's just consider that the volatility of the index overall, it tends to go up and down a lot. And we surged higher in 2020 and 2021, and it is coming down equally quickly. So there's nothing to say that it's going to stop at 2%. It could easily continue lower. And I think that that is far and away the most likely scenario. When we then think about one of the more narrow ways of thinking about inflation, where you take out food and energy, then this helps to highlight just how sticky inflation has been. It is coming down, but it isn't coming down nearly as quickly. So the ex food and energy is at about 4.8%, and that is still considerably above where the underlying range is. And that range really held for an awfully long time. All the way from about 1995 until 2020, the inflation rate never exceeded 3%. It's now at 4.8%, so it's got quite a bit of contraction yet to go. But then we have to pay attention to what the Federal Reserve is actually looking at. And they have been, and particularly Jay Powell, has been very clear in stating in plain English that he is paying attention to core services, less housing and shelter. And that isn't going to be updated again until the 28th of July. But it hasn't been coming down. Now, we also know that this particular measure has tended to be very volatile, and there was a good long period between 2002 and about 2008 when it was sustainably above the 3% level. But we're at levels that haven't been seen right now since the early 1990s. And it will make the Federal Reserve a lot happier if this particular measure is coming back down through the 4% level and into the underlying range to get it back down somewhere below the 3% band. So some work has been done to achieve the inflation targets. There's still a lot of work to go. And this basically ensures that the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates in July, but they probably have enough now to at least pause and wait and see what happens next. So, Then when we think about the Nasdaq, well, it was also in positive territory in here today. It gapped higher. And now the next question is, will it sustain the move? Will it improve upon this performance and push on to a new recovery high? Now, when we think about the dollar, the prospect of the USA not having nearly as beneficial an interest rate differential as a tailwind took a toll on the dollar today. The dollar index broke downwards to a new reaction low. So that confirms resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. It is now approaching the 100 level. Now, 100 has been an area of support on several occasions this year, and it was a meaningful area of resistance all the way through from 2015 to 2022, and then it exceeded it. If we're moving into a bearish dollar environment, then 100 isn't going to hold. I would anticipate that when it gets down to that level, we should expect to see a little bit of pause and consolidation, but it would need to exceed the 100 level, breaking down through the 1,000-day in order to reconfirm that we're in a supply-dominated environment. Now, gold prices popped on the upside today, so that's the first real, I think, weekly upward dynamic that we've seen for months from an important area of potential support like the 200-day moving average. This range that's been forming for the last 3 years looks like a consolidation, and it's a consolidation in the region of the historic peak. And I don't think that it's anything other than a consolidation, but we're going to need to see a couple of different factors in order to really ignite this recovery phase. Now, it's important to realize that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. This range has been underway for 3 years, it's been volatile, and we've certainly been conditioned to think that gold is more likely to be moving around rather than breaking out, and that's often a necessary condition before we do get a big breakout. The necessary conditions for a big bull market in gold are that we have a weaker dollar overall, and the dollar has been in a bull trend for the last 8 years. So if that is over, it could easily trend downwards for the next 7 years. That would take us all the way out to 2029, 2030. And if that is realizable, if that in fact is the case, then we should anticipate that the dollar index will move down to a new low. And if that happens, gold is going to multiply over the course of the next 7 years. So the potential for a very significant breakout has to be given the benefit of the doubt. But the necessary condition that has not yet been met is that the trend of real interest rates should begin to turn over. It's now at a very positive condition, and when it eventually does turn, when perceptions are that interest rate cuts are imminent and that the dollars, that the more likely scenario is that rates are going to be cut and that inflation is vanquished, then it is very likely that gold will have a very significant tailwind from the trend of real rates going from positive back into negative territory. So then gold shares were also in positive territory today and very clearly bouncing from the 30 area. So this is the region of both the 1,000-day and the 200-day moving average. But 30 is a big psychological level because it is the upper side of the base formation. And I think that this range that's been underway now for 3 years is just a first step above the base. And I would say the same thing about silver, where it has been ranging, albeit in a really exceptionally volatile manner for the last 3 years, but it is now steadying from the region of the 200-day moving average, and this entire range since the initial breakout in 2020 is a first step mostly above the base formation. Then platinum has also been firming here. The one big thing that platinum needs is a new bull story, and a new demand driver. So it did pop on the upside in 2021. It has pulled back into the underlying base formation, and it is still ranging right now, and looks likely that it will exceed the big psychological $1,000 level again. The problem for platinum is that it lost a major source of demand in the form of diesel catalytic converters. The platinum miners have been among the biggest proponents of a hydrogen fuel cell and an entire hydrogen economy. If they prevail and we do see a greater focus on hydrogen as a transportation fuel, as a way of trying to decarbonize electricity production, then that should be beneficial for platinum because it is one of the catalysts in hydrogen fuel cells. So we both have the industrial and the precious metal applications. Now, with the dollar rolling over and the euro and the pound and the Swiss franc firm, European markets were in positive territory as well. So they are rallying in response to the expectation that interest rates are going to begin to come back down and that inflation has been largely vanquished. So the FTSE 100 was in positive territory in here today, and it's bouncing from the region of the 1,000-day moving average. The DAX index has also been a bit steadier in here and is right in the region of its peak from back in 2021. So this looks like a fairly consistent ranging pattern overall. I've been thinking a lot about Switzerland, and the index here is bouncing from the region of the 1,000-day moving average. It's still well shy of the peak put in right at the end of 2021. But at least it's steadying in an area where one might anticipate demand coming or returning to dominance again. But if we look at the constituents of the SMI, well, you have industrial companies, you have mostly you have industrials, consumer goods companies, healthcare, and insurance companies. And the banks have pretty much been excised from the index. So this also helps to highlight why the Swiss government is more inclined to pander to the interests of the non-financial sector, because banks no longer are the primary driver of the economy. But the challenge here is that the Swiss franc has been a haven because of the confidence that the Swiss government will do what's necessary to protect the integrity of the currency. And the Swiss franc moved on to a new high. We haven't seen levels like this since 2015. In fact, the last time we had a Swiss franc this strong, it prompted an intervention by the SNB. One thing that I'm particularly alert to is that the Middle East seems to be intent upon taking the Swiss crown for looking after banking assets. And the Dubai Financial Market Index is popping on the upside here. It broke out to new highs in June, paused for a while, and now is improving upon that. So this is a clear recovery scenario. And then Saudi Arabia is taking its cue from a firmer oil price, but it's also firming from the region of the 200-day moving average, and this looks like a recovery trajectory overall. Now, when we think about what's going on there, well, Saudi Arabia and the UAE, they are doing what's necessary to attract financial firms. They're making very accommodative deals in order to attract assets. They're improving standards of governance. They're investing heavily in educating their governing class in the best standards of governance. They're creating an environment which is aimed exclusively at trying to build confidence. And when we contrast that with what's going on in somewhere like Switzerland, where they had to concede on banking secrecy, they had basically given up on neutrality by supporting the sanctions on Russia, and then big questions about the integrity of governance when all those AT1 bonds were basically defaulted on, and the Credit Suisse shareholders were basically disappropriated of their shareholding in the merger with UBS. So, from an international perspective, or an investor's perspective, Switzerland isn't as an attractive a destination as it has been in the past. Then, when we think about the Nifty index, it's pausing here in the region of its peaks. And it is worth highlighting that the bank index has been pulling back in a more violent manner. Now, I think when we look at it on a 10-year chart, it is certainly not violent. And I think it's more accurate to describe this as a pause, but it has been down for 4 consecutive days and it's coming back into the region of the big psychological 50,000 level. That suggests that the Nifty index will at least pause here. Then, Tata Consultancy came out with its earnings today and they were quite a bit better, but nonetheless, the share was in negative territory. So they are probably more attuned to the potential for a slowdown in the global economy after a very strong period rather than pricing in continued growth. And then Tata Motors has been among the strongest shares in the Indian market and rebounded incredibly impressively from the 2020 lows, but it's very overbought in the short term and does look likely to at least consolidate. Now, we've had a really impressive rebound in quite a significant number of the automotive companies. Now, Tesla is right in the region of the 300 level. And that was an area of resistance back in the middle of 2022. And it has rebounded in a really impressive manner, going from 100 to almost 300 in a short period of time. It wouldn't be at all surprising to see at least some pause in consolidation. And I think it's also just worth reminding ourselves that the NASDAQ is going to be reweighted, and the new weightings, will be announced on Friday. So, even though we've had a strong performance today on Wall Street, the larger companies are still pausing. And I think a lot of investors are thinking about what's the best way to play this, and will they be more likely to pull back first as the weightings are announced, and then as earnings come through, perhaps they'll trade on their individual merits. I think that suggests too that we should be prepared for some negative surprises on the earnings front. The thing that I'm rather conscious of is that the credit card rates have gone through the roof in the last 6 months. I had a letter yesterday telling me that the new rate on my American Express is 20, and I think it was 29%. It was obscene. Now, obviously, I don't carry a balance on my credit cards, but for anyone who does, that's going to represent a really significant additional headwind. And then I think it's interesting too that I mean, I've been quite negative of Goldman Sachs, and they seem to be doing everything they can to guide lower. And the share had popped on the upside in here today and then gave up the entire advance. They're going to come through with earnings in the next week. And the valuation isn't particularly challenging, but I think the one thing that is underappreciated is just how exposed the bank is to the property sector. Now, the volume of attention that has gone into the private assets market is really quite extraordinary, and this is something that everybody is chasing after right now. And it's not something that is going to last indefinitely. There will eventually be some regulation of the non-bank sector. It's probably accounting for about half of all assets under management right now. So the way that the non-bank financials have prospered is by not being liable for the same kind of regulation as the traditional banks. And that's not something that is likely to endure when we eventually do get a problem arising out of that sector. But and I think that is generally the way that regulation works. They don't regulate until there's a problem, then they regulate after the fact, and money moves on to create the next problem somewhere else. Then, of course, we continue well, at least I continue to monitor China, and the CSI 300 was in, or excuse me, the A-share index was in negative territory in here today, and the CSI 300 is still attempting to hold its lows, but the downtrend is still intact. Now, the HSI was in positive territory, and it was up about 1%, but it's got some work to do. Now, of course, with interest rates linked to the USA and Hong Kong, then the prospect of lower rates, that's probably going to buoy sentiment in the short term. And that should also be particularly beneficial for the property development sector in Hong Kong. Now, as we think then about what happens after that, well, once they start cutting interest rates, they won't generally cut rates until they have to, and they won't generally do that until there's a growth shock. I think that it is more likely than not that inflation, having already peaked and is on its way lower, that it's likely to surprise on the downside, and ultimately the yield curve spread will reverse the inversion, and we'll see a move higher in terms of that yield curve into positive territory. And it is usually when the yield curve trends higher from deeply inverted territory, that's usually when you have the greatest selling pressure in stock markets, because both earnings and our earnings and growth both take a hit. And that does look like it's going to be in the future. We have this then on top of the strong performance we've had in stocks. The Bitcoin price was up and down today, but still holding the move above the 30,000 level. And this is pure speculation about whether an ETF is going to be permissioned. If it's permissioned, then Bitcoin will pop on the upside from here. If it is not permissioned, then we can anticipate that Bitcoin is going to have a more difficult time from here. But the miners and the Bitcoin type of investments have surged over the last while, and now they're a little bit overbought in the very short term. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.